This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to a special sports Saturday here on this 28th day of July. We are talking Title IX today, the legislation which was passed back in 1972, which opened the door for young ladies to participate in athletics under the law. Before that, there were some athletic endeavors, but under the law, anything that received federal funding had to be equal. And that's where Title IX came out of. It was actually not a sports bill. For those of you who don't know much about Title IX, it was actually dealing with legislation to deal with the fact that certain programs were receiving federal funding, and in particular, busing. Desegregation of busing was one of the main issues. But within the bill, anything that received federal funding, there had to be equal opportunity. And that's how Title IX came about. And that was 40 years ago, signed on June 23rd, 1972, by President Nixon. And to kind of put things in perspective, going back 40 years, some of the things that were happening, Watergate break-in occurred the week of the signing of Title IX. And we're getting some stares around the room here. Okay. We still had one more lunar landing to happen, to take place. NASA had one more. Apollo 17 had yet to land on the moon. Unfortunately, the massacre at the Munich Olympics took place in September of that year. So that kind of puts things in perspective historically where this legislation took place. In the studio today, we are very, very honored to have a terrific group of people. Donna Rourke from Staunton, Carol Schramm from Pena, Fran Struble from Carlinville, Andrea and Kelsey Carr from Carlinville, and Molly McDowell, and of course, everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Hi, Uncle Ralphie.
Howdy.
How about sitting in here with these ladies?
This is great. Let's do it again next week. Yeah.
Well, there's probably going to be, that could be a problem, but we have them here today, and we want to talk about a little bit about the background of Title IX. And from the standpoint when I made some calls a few weeks ago about setting this up, what I wanted was to get some perspective from some of our friends here today about how it was before Title IX, a perspective from somebody who had success early on in Title IX, somebody who's playing professional athletics, and then a young lady who has taken off to new heights and is a collegiate athlete who is you know, destined for bigger and better things. And so I wanted a big you know, kind of a roundtable discussion. So to get us started, and by the way, when we're talking about women and athletics, I would be remiss, being a space geek like I am, the passing of Sally Ride, the first lady in space for America, passed away on Monday, and that was a sad thing for America. She was quite a hero to me and to a lot of other people. Anyway, Carol Schramm from Pena, we're going to start with you, Carol.
All right.
You were there before there was ever Title IX.
Correct.
What was it like for somebody like you who enjoyed sports, who enjoyed competition? What was it like to be alive in that era, to grow up before Title IX?
Well, first of all, going to high school, there were no athletic opportunities for girls, obviously, because I was in high school in the late 50s, and our dad, actually, give him all the credit, started my sister and myself playing softball. And from the time I was little, I being the firstborn, I think a ball was in my hand probably at birth. And so softball was really the only sport that I had any familiarity with. And we did that in the summer, and we traveled down to this area, and I'm from a suburban area of Chicago. So nothing in high school, so it was work after school. That's what we did. Then on to college, and did have an opportunity to play in college, although it was different because it would be several schools. It wasn't a play day GAA type of thing, but because you did actually have the competition. I played basketball when it was divided court. And Iowa kept that for a long, long time. Then on to Pena, I was telling these folks that in 72, school year 72-73, I took a leave of absence from teaching and was at Central Missouri State University in Warrensburg and in Missouri. And I was getting a master's degree in safety education, did have a job with OSHA in that spring until our superintendent, Carol Lau, called me, met with him, with Mr. Lau, Mr. Winneke. Bruce Winneke was assistant superintendent, and Barry Heaton was the athletic director. Those three men are the forerunners for Pena. They get the credit for having the foresight, especially Carol Lau, because he's the man who pushed it and asked if I would be interested. So the girls who were in that time period, they hadn't had anything until that next school year, 73-74, when I did come back. And, I mean, it was gangbusters. It was unbelievable, the amount of interest.
Now, earlier you mentioned GAA. For those folks listening may not understand what GAA was, explain it to us.
Girls Athletic Association. And
kind of a loosely based conference.
Yes,
basically.
It was just fun. I mean, competition was, I mean, it just was.
Yeah.
Right. And it was something for them to do, but still, it wasn't really true competition. Mm-hmm. So,
Fran Struble, talk to us a little bit about your recollections, your memories.
I'm like Carol. We are the early ones in here. When I was in school, we had GAA. And we had cheerleading. I did both of those. I grew up in a very large family. So we had our own softball team. We had our own football team in the front yard. You know, all of our athletics were done in the front yard at our house. But I always loved sports. I always had a great interest in sports. Always wished that I could have. When I went to college, I had the opportunity by three coaches to play, but did not because I worked my way through college. So I was either in class studying, I was working, would love to have played in college, but it just didn't work out that way.
Did you ever feel like you were missing something?
I would love to have done it. I would love to have been a part of the whole athletic team system. And when I came back and they asked me if I would coach, you know, it was one of those, of course, my sport is volleyball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My sport is volleyball. You know, the rest of the coaches here have coached multiple sports, but I coach middle school and high school, and when I get done with that, I feel like I put in my time and my hours, and, you know, I love working with the kids. I really do. Being a retired teacher, I'm not a retired coach because I still love what I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, the opportunity that the girls have today is just fantastic, and as you can see, we have future Olympians, international players, all because of Title IX.
And some just good people.
Oh, yeah. Terrific. Great people.
Absolutely.
Great people.
Absolutely. Donna, if we could get you to chime in a little bit, Donna Rorp, and tell us a little bit about your experience through your high school years. And I knowing you for a long time, I know you were a very good athlete.
I grew up in Raymond, went to school at Raymond, and as Fran and Carol related to, we had nothing. We did not even have GAA in Raymond. We had cheerleaders, and that was the only opportunity for girls to do anything. I grew up, like Carol said, pretty much with a ball in my hand, and it was just out in our front yard. That's all it was. I had make-believe softball games in my front yard, throwing the ball against the garage, side of the garage. I would have given anything to have sports in school and be able to participate, but it was not an opportunity. Enjoyed being a spectator, but there was just something missing in life without being able to have the opportunity to actually compete. Competition was very much a part of my life and everything I did, but could not do it in the athletic world. Went to college at Western, had the opportunity to play basketball there, enjoyed basketball immensely, and thought I was on top of the world. It was just awesome.
You came from a school that was big on basketball,
right,
because that was
really
the only game in town.
Right, it was. Yeah. And I just, all those grueling practices and suicides and everything we did, that I was just huffing and puffing, but I loved it all because I was actually competing and actually an athlete. And I was very fortunate when I got hired on in Staunton, January 75. They had track and field for girls and had volleyball for girls. And I was hired on to do track and field, not volleyball at that time. And so that was the first sport that I coached and had to learn from the ground roots because sure. I, you know, had never done anything with track. Had a couple classes in college, so the first thing I did was get out and buy some books and talk to people in the track and field world and get to clinics and learn what I was coaching because I was not going to go and just babysit with the girls. We were going to be competitive. We had a lot of girls out for track, and it's a sport where you can accommodate a lot of girls, and definitely was something I needed to learn, which I did and really enjoyed. And then I inherited volleyball after the volleyball coach the next fall decided to resign, and the future was there for me in volleyball. And as Fran says, volleyball is her sport. Basketball was my sport. Came to Staunton and had no basketball, but learned the game of volleyball. And then when basketball was initiated in Staunton and I was given the opportunity to coach that, I was involved with the high school and the junior high, and I declined because my love was with volleyball at that time.
And you actually had a team go to the quarterfinals, I believe, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I know Fran's had a team at state before. Carol, I don't, and you've had some successes in your coaching career as well.
We did in 78.
So we're talking to some ladies here who have, you know, come beyond the Title IX point at the start of the Title IX era and have been able to make a living and be part of athletic endeavors. We're going to continue our conversation on Title IX, but we got to take care of a little business. Sports Saturday rolls on right after this.
Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Law Officer at Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop now has a heavy-duty tow truck and can tow your semis. They have a crew cab rollback to transport your car and your family, and they can pick up your motorcycle. There is nothing they can't tow. When you need a tow, remember Kurt's 24-hour towing and machine shop in Litchfield. 324-2400. That's 324-2400.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
77 degrees outside of our WSMI studios. This check of your radar weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro, home of the Big Porky. We are looking at sunshine today, high temps right around 90 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, overnight lows in the mid-60s. A 30% chance of a rain shower tomorrow with a high of 90. There is a 30% chance of rain in the forecast now for tomorrow evening as well, with temps right around 70. Now, Monday, also rain has moved into the forecast. That 30% chance of rain on Monday. We'll see high temps in the mid-90s. The heat index up around 100 late Monday afternoon. And then on Monday night, another 30% chance of rain with overnight lows in the low 70s. So that forecast has evolved a little bit in the last 24 hours as beginning tomorrow, a 30% chance of rain all the way through Monday night. Currently, the radar screen is clear, a temperature of 77 degrees with a north wind at 7 miles an hour. This check of WSMI radar weather has been brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro, home of the Big Porky. 20 minutes past 9 o'clock, Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
Farming doesn't follow an 8 to 5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
When the occasion is special, the ice cream should be special as well. Next time you want an outstanding dessert, serve farmer-owned Prairie Farms Old Recipe Ice Cream, the all-natural flavored ice cream made the old recipe way. Fresh country cream, the best fruits, nuts, and natural ingredients all blended to create a classic taste experience. It's Prairie Farms Old Recipe Ice Cream, and it's available in your favorite flavors, including butter pecan. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
Cardinal baseball for you this morning. Live coverage from Wrigley Field at 11:10 on WSMI AM 1540. Back to sports Saturday we go. Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph.
By the way, boys and girls, Football Friday is less than 4 weeks away. Yep. Just want to let everybody know, 4 weeks from yesterday, it's Football Friday, and we'll have our normal slate of football all over the radio beginning in about a month. So, Uncle Ralph, I think you had a question for us.
I was just sitting here listening to these ladies, and we kind of have two divisions here with these three ladies who have been around prior to and through Title IX. And I wondered if you ladies, being coaches, are kind of like Terry and I are doing ball games. We never seem to be amazed at the ability that the young lady athletes have today. They've come so far. 40 years is a long time, but when you think back, I think back to the first girls' basketball game I went to, and I thought, this ain't going to fly. You know, just ain't going to fly. There's nothing there. And you look at them today, and it's just amazing, and I just wondered, even involved with them as coaches, if you're the same way, just amazed at the skills of these young ladies today. It's just amazing.
It is amazing. I think back and I laugh at myself, because when I first began coaching, the things that I taught my starting varsity team are things I'm now teaching my middle school kids.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing what you can teach. They're like sponges. You know, they want to do all the fun stuff. They want to do the big stuff. Let's get away with the boring stuff and get on. You know, they really want to be competitive.
Yeah, that I think that's a key word. They want to be competitive.
I agree with that totally. Initially in school year 73-74, we in Pena had a tremendously talented senior class of girls. And those young women, we had tennis. They went to the state tennis tournament the very first year, took five. Two doubles teams and a singles player. What a great opportunity. But I'm looking over here at Molly and Kelsey, and I'm thinking, comparing where they are today as to where we were in 73-74, there really isn't any comparison. We were, as Fran said, they were sponges. They just soaked it in. But they were very limited as to their skill development, because we started at square one at an age where, they were 16, 17 years old. So if they had had that kind of opportunity earlier, I it would be different. But, I mean, you can't compare. It's almost oranges and apples.
Yeah. We're talking about Title IX, and for those of you who are maybe tuning in just a little bit late, in studio we have Carol Schramm from Pena, Fran Struble from Carlinville, Donna Rohr from Staunton, who were our pre-Title IX folks that are sharing some memories with us. We also have in studio Molly McDowell and Andrea and Kelsey Card, and we're going to get to these ladies first. One thing I wanted to touch on, I heard one of our members of the General Assembly complaining about the cost of education and the threat of maybe doing away with athletics in schools. I think one of the great things that America offers is the fact that we are able to offer athletics through education and make it part of the educational process. The comment was, well, let's do what Europe does and let's make it club teams. I think that would be a huge mistake. Donna, can I get your take on that?
I agree with you, Terry. It would be a major mistake. It's amazing what the athletes learn in the actual sport that they are participating in. life's lessons that you teach in the classroom every day are taught every day on the field, in the gym, and so forth. My former athletes come back, and they constantly tell me, you taught me discipline, you taught me commitment, you taught me responsibility, and these are things that you don't realize you're learning when you're going through the competition and all the grueling practices. But as much as they hate you when it's happening, they do know later in life that they learned something that has helped them down the road.
And you learn discipline as well.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
yeah. I mean, the teacher is being taught as well.
Oh, definitely. It's a two-way street.
I think sometimes we forget in life, and sports certainly is a big part of that, but we forget as we go through life. Everybody wants to win, but you also have to learn how to lose, because you're not going to win every time. So you have to learn the other side of it also.
And that's one great thing, and I with the folks that we have here, and Fran in particular, we've talked to you many times about the volleyball team, and you have a Lady Cavalier way of doing it. Molly McNeil can talk about MTXE with Mo Huff. Whatever you call it, there's a way to conduct yourself. Donna, you've had it. Carol, you've had it. Kelsey, you've been through it. It's still going through it. Andrea, you've been through it. There's a way to conduct yourself, and it's a classroom. It just may not have a chalkboard. It may not have desks, but it's still a classroom.
I think even more important, it becomes a family. You know, there are a lot of kids today who don't have that family relationship. They don't feel wanted or needed. You know, and it fills that void in their life, being on a team, being together, learning all the things Donna was talking about, you know, discipline and respect and honor and integrity. But it also gives them someone to cover their back, to take care of them, to look out for them. You know, whenever they're having a rough day, on my team they have a buddy, and their buddy's supposed to pick them up, and that's their buddy's job, is to make their face shine, make them feel wanted and needed.
And I bet even after they've gone on to high school, every once in a while you get a phone call from somebody that says, hey, need some advice.
Yeah, or you get a letter, like Donna said. You get a letter, or a grandparent will say to you, wow, you touched my granddaughter's life. You know, that's what I coach for. Mm-hmm. I'm very competitive. I want to win. I don't want to lose. But, you know, it's a classroom of life, and it's all about what you and how you can prepare these girls for life, for reality in life.
It's a relationship that you achieve with these kids. I say it's similar to myself being a veteran, similar to being in the military. You meet people from all over the country, and I've been out of the Army 60 years, and we're getting ready to have our 60th reunion, and we go back, and I see these guys that I met 60 years ago. It's great. It's fantastic. And athletics give you the same thing.
As the years have gone by, has anybody ever asked you about Title IX? Ladies? Carol, how about you?
Yes. Asked in a, well, possibly an unpleasant manner, which I'm not going to go into, but basically, I don't think the majority of people in, I'll say PANA because that's where I live, it's something that they know that it was started at some point, but I don't know that there's really been a lot of questions asked concerning that. You make it what you want to make it. It was for us, it wasn't so much an equalization as an opportunity. That's where it started. It wasn't those of us involved in girls' athletics trying to push our way in the door. Maybe to some people it seemed that way. It wasn't, all right, we have to have so much time here, there. We took what was given to us and approached it in that manner. Same thing as uniforms, practice time, whatever. I mean, we were just thrilled, absolutely, myself included. I mean, I couldn't get them out of the gym. If we had the late practice, they didn't want to go home. And I mean, and we there were times when we went from one sport to another. Tennis and volleyball and field hockey all overlapped. And I was coaching all three sports. A lot of the kids were in the girls were in
sports,
all
yeah,
three sports.
Sure.
We literally went from the tennis courts to the volleyball court many times because volleyball season started in the fall back then. And I mean, that's what it was, and it was great. I saw those girls probably more hours than their parents did during that time. But ironically, it's this past summer that from that very first class, well, two of those young ladies still live in Pena. And Mary Cawthorn just retired. Nancy Vaudry was in that class. She's still coaching. She teaches elementary physical education, but she coaches basketball. Has been the only main staple in the girls' basketball program. She was the JV coach when it was started in school year 79-80. And yes, it was a horrible scene that year. Mercy, that was was horrible. I agree with you totally.
Uncle Ralph, remember all the traveling? Every other play was a travel call.
You talk to him about learning how to dribble a ball, and they look at you like, dribble? What's that? Should have been fumble.
And if you had somebody that dribble, you dribble about 10 steps, stop, and then you look for about 3 seconds. Well, let's go ahead, pass the ball this way. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I was the track coach, so we were in good shape. I mean, we did a lot of conditioning, but we did not play well.
Well, one of the young ladies who had some success in her high school career, along with Bonnie Bettis and Gina Greenwald, were the two other names I remember. Andrea Falter Card. Pull that microphone in front of you, Andrea, if you would. Of course, as a member of the Lady Cavaliers in 1980, a fourth place finish in the state basketball tournament. So early on, you had some success. Did you ever think about Title IX then, or was it was already there and I just took advantage of it?
I think we just took advantage of it. We didn't really realize because we didn't have that prior knowledge. Middle school sports, it was junior high when I was in school, we had, I believe, track and cheerleading at Carmville Middle School. So, of course, you went out for track if you wanted to, and then Mrs. Conacher led the cheerleading. And so we played the sports in PE, and Mrs. Conacher was also the PE teacher. So we did volleyball and basketball, but there wasn't any organized girls basketball or volleyball in middle school. So high school was the first opportunity that I had to play organized sports.
And you had Lou Stivers and Andy Easton. Were the coaches.
And Carl Kasten was assistant coach, and he helped tremendously with me, spent a lot of time with me on the in practices. So.
And had you ever been involved in anything like a basketball team or
no.
sort of thing?
Mm-mm. We didn't have anything in elementary school at Chesterfield. Yeah. I mean, we had five girls in our class, so you didn't really have anything, So
tell me what you remember a little bit about the success you had in that team in 1980 and some of the as you look back on it now.
The memories are there. And, the people of Carmville really rallied around us. I mean, it was a big deal. And we had so much support.
And memory serves me right. Carmville had the super sectional for many, many years there. I don't know that they had it the year that you went to state, but Carmville was kind of an early hotbed of girls basketball.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. And so we packed the gym with our basketball, games. And just the girls, we keep in touch, which is neat. I went on to play college, and I don't keep in touch really with anybody from college, but I do keep in touch with the ones from high school. And, we had the reunion here not too long ago where everybody, but I think one person showed up, and all the coaches were there, and that was fun. And we kind of started where we left off, the conversations. And what's been fun is my kids have played with a lot of the people that I played against. Their kids, have played together. So that's been fun, too, through the years to see their daughters or playing with my daughters in other towns and such.
And to put it all in perspective for this area, we have a young lady sitting here who is still playing basketball, but Molly was a forerunner in back-to-back state championships at Nokomis and kind of got the ball rolling. Then a few short years later, just down the road a few miles, the Hillsborough girls won a state tournament. So we're sitting in an area here where two schools not too far apart have three state championships. And that's really kind of awesome when you get to thinking about it.
And let's bring in Molly. Kind of grab that microphone there, Molly, if you could, and scoot up there a little bit to it. It's not the best radio when you hear that microphone noise, but that's okay. We can maybe edit that out. Molly, of course, was a big part of that Nokomis back-to-back state championship 98-99, Ms. Basketball 1999. But what makes Molly unique, just alongside the fact that she's just a great person and a good friend, is the fact that she's still playing professionally, making a living playing basketball in Europe.
Yeah, I've gotten more opportunities than I could have ever imagined. You know, I think back to when I was in fourth grade, and there was no opportunities in Nokomis at that time. And, I mean, that was in the 90s. Now they have it, but I wanted to play with the boys, and they wouldn't let me play with the boys. So I didn't even get to start playing basketball
until junior
high.
But you did play with the boys
high.
In Fillmore.
What?
I mean, you played
you
against
to,
the boys.
Yes.
And with them. Yeah, that's
you had
yeah.
to. I mean, that's where I kind of started, was in the Fillmore gym playing.
Sure.
And, but, I mean, I would have never imagined the opportunities that I would have gotten over the years with coaching, with playing, with even getting to travel and do other things just because of my sport and because of what I've gotten to do in my sport.
Was there a junior high program when you got to 7th and 8th grade?
Yeah. Okay. In 5th and 6th grade, we had kind of a little intramural, yeah. like 4 or 5 team thing. I was on the orange team. I mean, it was serious business.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then we had the junior high team. But I mean, even when I was in seventh grade there, we were not in the regional. We weren't in a regional tournament. We played 16 games and we were finished at the end of our 16-game season.
And I can remember in the early days when the Sons of the American Legion, I believe in Litchfield, had the all-star girls basketball games. And I can remember talking to Coach Maury Huff and seeing some of the girls playing that those particular games, and he was talking to me at halftime one time, and he says, T, we've got this gal named Molly McDowell. She's coming up. She's going to be something else. She's in junior high now. She can't wait till she gets to high school. And he was right.
Yeah, I mean, my parents did everything for me athletically, but he definitely gave me the extra kick in the butt that I needed throughout the course of my career, and I probably wouldn't be – I know I wouldn't be where I am now without – him coaching me.
We look back at what Coach Huff did and how he helped mold you into the player that you became. But there was a love-hate relationship at times, as I think most athletes and their coaches get to that point from time to time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I hear stories from when Coach Huff first started coaching at Nokomis, and I know people that played for him then, and I think he actually got quite a bit softer, and I still did not like the man very much when I played for him. So I won't go with hate. That's a pretty strong word, but I will say there was a very strong dislike in the 2 hours of practice every day.
Practice was not the easiest thing to survive, was it?
No, it wasn't. And I think the worst part was the 4 hours after lunch leading up to practice when you had to sit and think about all the awful things that we were going to have to do during practice.
It was a different era. And as you look back, obviously you have some great memories and made some, you know, great friends and relationships. But did you ever think about anything like, gosh, you know, I'm having an opportunity that my folks never had or other people ever? You really didn't think about that because it was there.
Yeah, I don't think I really even, I mean, I'm sure I had heard of Title IX before, but I don't think I really understood the impact that Title IX had until I coached at Ashland University in Ohio, and my boss there, the head coach, she was very much, she got the first women's scholarship to Miami University in Ohio. And she's the one that really taught me just the impact that Title IX has had on women's athletics. And, you know, that's something that now I can look back and appreciate. When I was in high school, somebody could have told me the exact same thing, but I know I wouldn't have appreciated it as much as I do
I think
now.
When we were all in high school, we didn't appreciate stuff. So,
Talk a little bit about your career as a professional athlete overseas. How is that different from perhaps here in the United States playing professional level?
Oh, I mean, I think there's a huge difference in professional athletics in Europe, especially basketball, and especially in Holland. Basketball is not a popular sport in Holland. I have to spend a lot of my time going into the schools and teaching basketball to the kids because they know how to put a ball on the ground and they know how to kick it. I mean, soccer is the number one sport, and you might even have them dribble a couple times and then kick the ball just because that's what that's what they grow up with, is the soccer. So, but getting the opportunity to play there, I would assume is similar to getting the opportunity to play here. It's not on that high of a level, but, you know, I take the opportunity. I think I'm extremely lucky to get to live in a place that I love and learn different cultures. And I think that's what I enjoy more than even the opportunity to play. I mean, I still love to play, but I love the opportunity to get to meet people from every country and do all the things that I wouldn't have the opportunity to do
here. Do you think it's, as you said, it's soccer country, and maybe it's a lack of education on the fans' part that they're not more interested in the game? Or
The fans, I mean, the fans that they have in basketball are intense fans. There's just not enough of them because they just don't know. Yeah, they don't know about basketball. I mean, if there were more people that knew about basketball in Holland.
Blackburn coach Aiden Gonelson says soccer is basketball without your hands. So Molly, go over there and just tell him that basketball is soccer with your hands. That's how you sell it to him. You know, that's how you sell it to him. Yeah, and because of Title IX, Molly not only had, you know, high school success, but also went to school at SIU Carbondale, 1,000-point member, scored over 1,000 points in her career there, got her education paid for, and is still making a living playing professional sports. That's absolutely awesome.
Thank you.
Absolutely awesome. Ralph, I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, I agree with you 100%. I sit here and think about what this young lady has accomplished, and it's just amazing that still, and certainly she's not an old lady, but it's just amazing.
Go ahead and hit him, Molly.
It's amazing, you know, that she's still able to participate at the level she is.
Sure.
It's amazing.
It is. And we also have Andrea's daughter, Kelsey Card, who said, well, if you open up the IHSA record book in track and field, and then the IESA and the junior high, she's all over the place. And we'll be, I'm not sure any of those records are going to be touched. Kelsey, pull that microphone around if you could there. Okay. And here's Kelsey, who graduated from Carlinville High School, is now attending University of Wisconsin, will be a sophomore this coming fall. Just tell me about your experience coming through high school, having mom played for Carlinville High School and her mom gone through the athletic, you know, situation in high school. What did you draw from her growing up?
I guess I kind of had a jump on things that a lot of kids wouldn't have, just having a parent. And then my dad also wrestled in college too. But it was just my mom knew, like, how things worked and stuff, and that you have to work on extra things extra to be better at and stuff. So it was nice to have somebody who'd already gone through it and knew what it was like.
Your dad play as well is one thing, but to have
both parents,
both parents, and especially a woman experience it, which, you know, was still kind of new back in the early 80s. That was interesting.
Yeah, it was nice to have your mom, because my mom, like, she coached, like, see, with me, with the whole Title IX thing, like, it was, everybody played sports, like, all girls did, like, everybody started with soccer when you were, like, 5 or 6, like, I mean, everybody did it, and my mom, like, it was nice to always have her coach, and it was, like, she knew what was going on, whereas, like, other moms, it was kind of funny, they didn't quite, like, oh, I know what to do.
Get to the ball.
Yeah, so, and then whenever I started playing basketball, like, she was my coach, too, she and Bill Carpenter did it or whatever, and they coached us all the way through, till middle school, and so... It was, I mean, she was my mom, but yet, like, she was my coach, though, on the thing, and she knew what she was talking about, so it made me better.
And not only did Kelsey excel in track and field, obviously, but volleyball, Fran, she was deadly. She was deadly, and then, of course, in high school basketball, which was probably, I don't know how it ranked on favorite or least favorite sport, but you kind of got into it, I think, a year late.
Yeah.
But what a tremendous impact you had on that.
Yeah, it was... Well, I just remember this, like, also with volleyball, like, I started going to camps as soon as you could, but I had another leg up because my older sister played volleyball too, so I had two girls before me in my life to help me with that or whatever, but, I was really lucky.
Do you feel any pressure as a college athlete?
What do you mean? Like...
Pressure to compete at a high level? Do you put pressure on yourself?
No, like, it's hard to explain to people, but whenever I start thinking about what I want to do with sports, like, before a meet or something, when I try to think about too much, it just all goes to crap. So, like, I can't think about it, and I do better, I know, I do, but that's just how different people work. Like, I do better when I don't think about it. Like, I want to do well, and I'll think about that beforehand, but then when it's, like, on the day of, I just try to let myself do what I've done for so long.
Molly, how about you before a ball game at a professional level? I mean, they're expecting good things from you virtually every night. How do you prepare?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I take the things that I've learned over the course of my career and put it into practice. I mean, I know what I have to do. And the way it is in Holland, I mean, if I don't score 20 points and have 8 assists and 8 rebounds, there's a good chance that we might not win win a game. So, I mean, there is pressure on me, but, you know, I like that. I've grown up with pressure, and I think that's when I play my best basketball. If somebody had no expectation for me, I'm not so sure how well I would do in sports. I mean, that's just, I think athletes strive for like a certain expectation.
And not everybody can be an athlete. Not everybody has that desire.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been around, there's so many kids that I wish, I mean, in my coaching, that I wish, you know, if one unathletic kid who really wants to play could have this athletic kid's talent, yeah. Oh, it just, that is so frustrating to me to see a kid with talent and has no, just no intensity and no drive to succeed. And you have some kid that can't dribble and just fumbles the ball everywhere and they want to be so good and just, it's just not going to happen.
We're talking to some special ladies today on Sports Saturday. We're talking about the Title IX, which is celebrating its 40th anniversary, and how it has changed the face of athletics, not only in America, but really worldwide. Once it hit America, the rest of the world followed suit, and we'll talk more about that. We need to take a break. Sports Saturday rolls on in just a moment.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing. Housing lender.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
This look at your WSMI radar weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carthenville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. 78 degrees currently outside of our studios. We will push towards 90 degrees this afternoon with sunshine. Partly cloudy tonight, overnight lows in the middle 60s. Then tomorrow we begin a chance here of rain. A 30% chance of showers tomorrow. A 30% chance of rain tomorrow night. Monday, a 30% chance of rain with a 30% chance of showers Monday evening as well. Your high temp tomorrow right around 90. Your high temp Monday will be in the mid-90s with heat index readings close to 100 late Monday afternoon. And then we'll see lows throughout the weekend into Monday night in the low 70s. Right now, the radar screen is clear of precipitation, a temperature reading of 78 degrees, and a wind coming from the north at 4 miles an hour. This check of WSMI radar weather brought to you by CarQuest in Carthenville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Cardinal baseball comes up for you this morning at 11:10 from Wrigley Field. Cards and Cubs. That'll be live on AM 1540 at 11:10. Back to WSMI Sports Saturday. Terry Tope, Uncle Ralph.
Thank you very much, Tim Mize. In studio, we have Carol Schramm, Don Arora, Fran Struble, along with Andrea and Kelsey Carr, and Molly McDowell. We've been talking about the impact of Title IX. It's the 40th anniversary of Title IX this year. And if we could go back to Donna, Carol, and Fran real quick. Tell me a little bit, Donna, about the impact that you see worldwide, and in particular for the Olympics, because this year the Olympic team has more female athletes than male athletes. And just a quick, off the top of your head comment about seeing something like that happen here 40 years after Title IX.
I think it's kind of ironic that this is the year it happens, and it's the 40th anniversary Title IX, that we have more female athletes there. It just tells you how far it has come and progressed. And you look at the world situation. I mean, years ago, there was no professional sports for Molly to participate in over in Europe years ago. And I can remember when I was in college, my basketball coach talking about starting up and talking to people about starting up a professional team. And that was in the 70s, and that was just beginning to be thought about then. So, yes, it has really progressed.
Carol, how about you and your take on things?
No, I totally agree. While she was talking, I was thinking, here we have Kelsey, who actually went to the Olympic trials, a young lady from Carlinville, Illinois, who was able to compete in the Olympic trials in Eugene, Oregon. What a tremendous accomplishment. And I don't know what she's thinking down the road, but myself, I'm thinking, oh, that would be wonderful if she has this opportunity again in 4 years and then would be able to make the team. So congratulations to you. That is outstanding.
Ralph, you and I and Tim, we've had Kelsey on the program before in a year or so ago, and she said, well, I don't know. We may try out for the Olympics. I'm not real sure about it. But we all kind of knew in the back of our heads she was going to at least give it a shot. We kind of had that feeling.
Ladies, I think back being a Butler right from the town of Butler. Of course, we had Harold Anderson, who was the Olympian back in, 26, whatever, and he won several medals. But it was kind of ho-hum then. But today, that would be, be quite a thing to have a man in the small town of Butler go to Germany to the Olympics and do what he done. But it takes nothing away from Kelsey or Molly or anybody what they've accomplished. It's just fantastic.
And one thing I think we would be remiss, Ralph, if we didn't mention the fact that we do have a professional athlete who hails from Hillsboro, Mary Beth Zimmerman, who was successful in the professional golf tour.
Yeah.
And a couple of times just scorched the course with the Lincoln Greens when it was at the rail when they had the Rail Charity Classic. So, we've seen professional athletes from this area, women, and they've been very, very successful.
And who knows, we may have another on the horizon, depending on what happens to Brooke Biller in the future. But she's trying to become a pro now, and we wish her all the luck in the world.
Fran, maybe your take on the Olympics and the fact that there's more women athletes, and this is something, obviously 40 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, we would never have thought that this might have happened.
I say yeehaw. Yay for the women.
The
women are still behind as far as statistically, as far as scholarships, as far as AD positions, as far as, head coaches in Division I. We're still behind, but the opportunity is there. The opportunity is growing. And I just happen to think of something that I think is hilarious. We said we could be funny, right?
Absolutely. Okay.
Absolutely. All right. Something that's hilarious. When I went to college, one of the sports that they asked me to play was volleyball. And I remember the volleyball coach coming to me. I had her in my volleyball class. And she came to me and she said, wow, you could be quite a volleyball player, but who in the world taught you how? And I just laughed thinking, well, maybe if somebody had I had that opportunity in high school, maybe I would have driven much harder and tried to work less hours, but at the time, working looked better. But I thought it was hilarious that she said, and who taught you?
And Carol, you are one of the ladies who, to my knowledge, was one of the first female athletic directors I was ever able to work with. And that's kind of a position which is being filled more and more by women.
Yes, I was very, very fortunate. And actually, I succeeded John Blackburn, who was our head boys basketball coach. He was assistant principal, and he was also athletic director. So when he left in 82, it was actually some male coaches who came to me and asked me to apply, and I'll always remember it, Kevin Dewey and Jim Hefner. I was out playing tennis, and they said, we need to talk to you. We want you to apply for that position. I had not even considered it. Not at all. And so after some discussion with them, I thought, well, I have their support, so I'll go in and make an application, which I did.
And when you first got into that position and had to start dealing with other schools, was there some animosity? Was there some surprise?
Towards me?
Yeah.
No, not at all. I was very fortunate. And I was the only female athletic director. The next one to come on the horizon was actually Terry Trader in Hillsboro. And we were back in, I don't think she was when we were in the mid-state yet. But when we went into the South Central in 97, and she came on board sometime after that, and she did an excellent job. I mean, enjoyed her. But I never experienced any animosity from any of the other athletic directors. They were great.
That's great. We're running short on time here before we run out of time. Molly, what are your plans here in the future? I know you want to continue to play basketball as much as you can, but after that, what are you looking at?
I want to play maybe one or two more years, and after that, I still want to stay involved in athletics, in basketball, I hope. I don't know if that's going to be in Holland or somewhere else in Europe or back in the States, but I would love to have another opportunity to coach.
Little old Molly McDowell from Fillmore, Illinois, playing basketball in Europe. What a great experience. When you talk to people and the people you've met, what's their first opinion of the United States and people from the United States? Now you've been able to meet enough people, and what's their general impression of the U.S.?
Yeah.
Are we all crazy guys and people
yeah,
over here? Basically,
I would have to say that in Holland, that the opinion of Americans are not too high, especially of our political side, and I'm pretty dumb politically. Mm-hmm. I don't follow it a lot. So I just sit and listen. I don't even really have a lot of things to say back, but the opinion is not high on America, actually.
That's interesting. And you being an American and just basically sitting there listening and taking it in.
Yeah, they can say what they want. I don't have a problem with it. And, you know, they think it's funny because I've chosen to live over there for so long, so they just automatically assume that I don't like it over here either. So,
but that's not the case.
That's not the case.
It's work. Yay, it pays the bills. That's Kelsey, what are you looking at here down the line? I know you want to finish your college career and maybe have another shot at doing the Olympics, but once you get through college and get to that point, beyond that, what are you hoping to be involved in?
I'm not exactly sure what I want to do with, like, my professional career. Right now I'm pre-nursing, but I don't know what I'll stick with. I got 4 more years to decide. But I'm excited because the cool thing, especially about women throwers, is that we don't mature physically until later 20s, early 30s. So I got some time ahead of me, which is really nice. And I know, unless, like, barring any injury or anything, I've got some time, so that's good.
And watching the opening ceremonies last night of the Olympics, it's amazing how the Bob Costas and whoever else was with him was mentioning how many of the athletes were now in their 30s and 40s and still competing at a very high level.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you've got the world ahead of you, basically.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm glad I chose a sport where I can keep going, whereas like in gymnastics or something, you're done after you're like 16.
Well, and I know Molly goes back and has helped with camps here this summer and is constantly teaching. Are you involved in that sort of thing as well?
Since I came home this summer, I didn't do quite as much stuff with that. Like, I babysit or whatever is my job. But then if I stay up there in Madison, I'll probably help at the camp we have every summer. Because I went to that camp, and that's where I fell in love with Madison, so...
Few more comments from our coaches and our ladies who were here before Title IX. We talk about summer activities sometimes, and every once in a while we get criticized here on the sports show because we always talk about starting them young and working in the summer. But in order to compete, you have to do that. Is that correct, Fran Struble?
Yes. If you sit during the summer, you get lost in the fall. Yeah, you have to be out and you have to keep promoting your own sport. Keep developing your athletes. Yeah.
And that's you mentioned an interesting word. You have to continue to sell your sport.
You do. Volleyball is a white ball, and everybody plays with the orange ball, as Molly knows, or the football. And volleyball around here to get to a competitive club system is go south, go north. And that's not always an opportunity for kids who are multi-sport athletes. So, you do have to promote your sport, and you do everything you can to introduce to young players the possibilities. Because unless you try it, you'll never know whether you like it or whether you don't. So to say, no, I won't play volleyball without giving it a try is just slamming the door on a great opportunity.
And I think a lot of times people talk about burnout and worry about burnout. But, Donna, in your experience, if people don't want to be part of a team, they don't want to be part of the team, and that's okay. You know, you don't want them on the team.
Right, exactly. And as far as burnout goes, if they really enjoy the sport, they aren't going to get burned out. I want to add to what Fran was saying. In the 70s, even, we were doing summer practices because we would not have been competitive had we not. And we did not have junior high program then, and obviously we had to work harder at the high school level to keep our skill level up. And now with the summer practices, not only do you spend time on the gym, you're also in the weight room developing your body too. That's a must now.
Well, ladies and gents, we're out of time here on this Sports Saturday special edition of talking about Title IX. One of the neat things about my job is I've had a chance to interact with all of you. You're terrific people, and the teachers and the athletic directors and the coaches we've had around the listening area have been absolutely tremendous people to work with, and we are so blessed because I've talked to other radio stations around the state. They don't have what we have as far as the relationship is concerned. So thank you so much for being a part of our lives and being part of our kids' lives. It's been a tremendous honor to have you here today. Donna Rook from Staunton, Carol Schramm from Pena, Coach Fran Struble, who's just chomping at the bit to get back with volleyball, Andrea and Kelsey Card, Molly McDowell, Uncle Ralph, thank you. Thank you so much for being part of this. I hope maybe we've enlightened some people on Title IX, and I hope maybe they will take it upon themselves to make sure that their daughters get involved, because it's very, very important.
Kudos to you, Terry, for such a tremendous working relationship. We appreciate it.
Well, we certainly appreciate all that you ladies have done. And that's it for Sports Saturday. Don't forget Cardinal baseball coming up this afternoon or this morning, 11:10 on WSMI AM 1540, the Cards and the Cubs. Go Redbirds!
Go Cards!
Go Redbirds! That's right. That's it for Sports Saturday. WSMI FM, Litchfield. It's 10 o'clock.